And I am intentionally redundant because most of the times our minds have been fed so many negative things until we have to keep hammering away at the false concepts with the truth until our individual consciousness accepts the truth and we are set free. I say, whatever good you want, get full of the feeling. If you want to be healthy, and you don't have to be sick to pray the prayer for health, if you want to be healthy all of your days in this dimension, in your consciousness, in your own mind, entertain the thought, the belief, the feeling of health. Get full of the feeling of health, and that will keep you healthy. It will heal you if you're sick.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Kinetic Fitness Show. This is episode number 12, and my name is Ali West, and I'm your host today, as always. Today's episode, we're going to be talking everything meditation, and I have a fantastic guest that I'm going to speak to today. His name is Jason Stevenson, and if you haven't heard of this guy, he is absolutely massive on YouTube. He has thousands of followers, his videos have been viewed millions of times, and Jason is all about putting out content that is in relation to meditation. So he does guided meditations on YouTube for everything from sleep to reducing stress to attracting abundance into your life. And he also puts out meditation music as well. If you haven't heard of Jason Stevenson, I highly recommend you head over to YouTube after you've listened to this podcast and check him out and listen to some of his recordings. So we're going to dive into this podcast right now and bring in Jason, meet the man himself, and pick his brain about everything in relation to meditation. And if you may already meditate, it may be something that's already part of your life. But if it isn't, and this is something that you've been interested in and been intrigued by, and you want to know how you can get into meditation, this is the episode for you. Even if you are an experienced meditator, you're still going to get loads of information from this episode today. So let's get cracking. Let's bring in Jason and get cracking with another episode of the Kinetic Fitness Show. Okay, so we're live here with Jason Stevenson, all the way from Australia. I'm here, obviously, in the UK. How are you today, Jason?
Very good, Ali. Very good. And thank you very much for having me here, too, by the way.
No problem. It's a pleasure. I'm really excited about this. I'm a big fan. I listen to you regularly. And I'm looking forward to dipping into your knowledge and your wisdom and finding out a little bit more about you and how you help people. And also sharing some good information with the listeners.
Awesome. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, before we get into some of the questions that I want to ask, can you just give the listeners a bit of information about who you are, your backstory, and where you are now?
Sure thing. Well, I'm Jason Stevenson, and I grew up here in this city where I'm in at the moment. It's Wollongong, New South Wales, Australia. It's right on the beach. A beautiful place, and just blessed to have an absolutely beautiful family. I've got a couple of brothers, and my mum and dad, they're actually moved to the country now. So I grew up here within this, but I've always had a soft spot for the country, and I only recently just purchased a house in country, South Australia, and really, I believe that I've found home in that area, and anyway, but I grew up with mainly I wanted to sing and act, would you believe? Like a bit of a difference from meditation. But in some ways, you know, it comes into play because before singing and before going on stage and before I always used to deep breathe and to be in the moment. So it's interesting how that has come into play now. And so, of course, now I do guided meditations and relaxation music, and you know, I've got this huge following now on YouTube. It's turned into a giant, big giant, but it's what I love, and I feel 100% blessed, 100% blessed to be doing it.
Awesome. That's great. Can you give me and the listeners a bit of a brief outline of what meditation is. I know obviously meditation comes in many different forms and different aspects, but what is it to you, and how would you, if you were speaking to an alien or something, how would you explain meditation to them?
Well, for me, it's an ongoing, forever ongoing practice that is taking time out to be still, to be present in the moment, in awareness, without judgment or labeling whatever is going on at that point in time, but just with to sit and be still with full acceptance. That's how I would sum it up, and it's ongoing because it's every sitting, every session of meditation is unlike the other.
For sure.
Every one of them. Just when you think that you're getting, if you think you're getting somewhere in meditation, no, I'll go back to the mat and have a sitting that's where my mind just has so many thoughts. I go, okay, here we go again. This is where we're at the moment. So, yeah.
How did your meditation start then? I know you mentioned that you've always been into breathing and deep breathing, but
yeah.
when did it first like really click for you, and when did you think, oh, this is for me and this is what I'm going to continue doing?
Well, can I tell you, I'm going to tell you two sides to this story. I think my first meditation session, which was not formal, but which happened, was when I was about 7 or 8 years of age, and we went around Australia with my family. And I remember being on my own, sitting on the edge of a gorge in Western Australia. I think it was called Geeky Gorge. I think it's in Western Australia anyway. And I remember sitting there as a child and being still and having this feeling of 100% awareness, content, being in the moment. I could never explain what happened then or there, but it was my first insight into something much, much deeper than myself, and that was way back. Then I had my first, I guess, formal class, went with my mum. She said, do you want to do a meditation class? And I said, sure, I'd love to. And I was about 16 at the time and went there. But it wasn't until I got into some troubled times in my later 20s, and I went to counseling, and it was a bit of a mess. And she said to me then, you know, you need to meditate. Have you heard of that before? And I said, well, yes, I have, actually. She said, you need to get into this more because you need to, you know, ease your mind and let go of thoughts. And that was when I began to meditate more, and I ended up doing a 10-day monastic retreat, a silence retreat, which that blew my mind, and that was to set the sails of the course of my direction.
Yeah. Great story, great insight there to how it came about. Don't you think it's interesting how, like, a lot of people find meditation out of a bad experience, so to speak, so maybe a troubled time happens in that person's life, and then sometimes people stumble across it, don't they? I know obviously you was told to look at meditation, but some people just kind of stumble across it, don't they, through something bad happening.
Absolutely. I think I've heard of many stories of, I see it even on my YouTube channel in the comments of people have turned to meditation to help them to deal with their issues, whether it be relationship or health or whatever it is, but looking for something to find ease and acceptance to help them find that within their lives, and meditation is surely a good way to do that.
Yeah, for sure, definitely.
Yeah.
We'll come on to my story in a little bit, how I came across meditation. But
great.
We'll share that in a little bit. But I want to dig into a little bit deeper now. I want to speak about the problems that people have with meditation. I know it's more and more people are doing it, and I think it's bigger now, like mindfulness and meditation is bigger than it's ever been. But why do you still think there's like so many people have trouble with it, and why so many people don't have meditation as part of their life.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, well, some of it's excuses that we can make sometimes, and one I hear often is that, well, some say that they haven't got enough time to do that. And in fact, if that's the excuse, and I use this on myself too, I might add, if I come up with the excuse that I'm too busy today, haven't got enough time, and I catch myself saying that in my mind, you know, and I'm like, whoa, that's the time when I need to pull myself back.
Yeah.
And to meditate. Too busy, then you meditate more.
Got you. What other problems do you think people have with it, and what do you think are some of the maybe preconceived ideas about meditation, and maybe some, I don't know, misconceptions that people have with meditation?
Yeah, I think I'm getting a bit of a feedback here. Can you?
Sorry.
Is that okay, your end?
Yeah, it's okay. Is that better?
One, two. Ah. Thanks, mate.
No worries.
Yeah, I think the one that I hear is, well, some people find it boring, and initially, to be honest with you, it can be boring. But that's something that we have to, that whilst that's happening, whilst that's just a thought, you know, and whilst that thought's there, just observe that thought. And the other one, of course, is that people say, oh, I can't, I was just speaking to a guy in Sydney the other day, actually, and he said, oh, I need to get into meditation. I need to try. He says, but I think too much. You know, I've got too many thoughts going on. I was like, that's okay. That's perfectly okay. Because, you know, you're becoming aware of that. Those thoughts are going on all the time. And you're just becoming aware of that through the process of meditation. So this is a good thing. You know, that's a great problem to have if you've got too many thoughts. It means you're on the right track.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, there's no more thoughts than what you had a few hours ago, or what goes on, you know, with 1,500 thoughts or thousands of thoughts per day that we have, you know. So, and people just thinking that they're doing it wrong. That's another thing. You know,
there's no right or wrong way with meditation, is there? Sorry to interrupt you there. There's no right or wrong with meditation.
Absolutely. If you're taking the time to sit and to be present, to be still, absolutely perfect. That's not wrong.
Yeah.
There is no right or wrong. As you said, you know, that's it. That's it.
What I get quite a lot, Jason, is the whole kind of, a lot of people think it's maybe related to religion, or it's a bit, quote unquote, airy fairy mysticism, so to speak. How do you get around that one?
In fact, that's interesting you say that, mysticism, because just today I had my staff, you know, talking to a customer, and they said, "Oh, is there a way to do meditation without being too mystical?" And absolutely, of course, because in fact, although meditation come from, you know, a spiritual, from religion many, many years ago, it's turned that we use it now in the West in a non-religious way to help people with, you know, pain relief and to overcome fear and anxiety without necessarily a religious context at all. Possibly on the bit of the spiritual side, but it really has been now scientifically proven to work wonders, and this has got nothing to do with the spiritual side of it, just the connecting to breath. In fact, it's, I guess you could say it's grounding.
Yeah.
You know, it's bringing us back, and so it doesn't have to be mystical at all.
For sure. There's two things that I want to point out to the listeners that you've already mentioned, and this has come up in previous podcasts as well. Number one is, you've mentioned awareness, and I think that is critical, like being aware of just of where you are, of those thoughts, and just letting them kind of drift on by and go. I think a lot of people, they have trouble with meditation and other areas of their life as well, because they're not actually aware that they're almost like sleepwalking, so to speak. And I think if you can just be a bit more aware, that makes a big difference. That was the first one. The second one I wanted to point out to people is the breathing. I think this is so, so important, and it's becoming more important now. I think more people are pointing it out, how important the breath is, because we've almost forgot to breathe properly, haven't we?
Ah, you're dead right there. You're dead right. No pun intended there with the word dead. Stop breathing. But absolutely. And the joy of this sort of meditation is of connecting to the breath is that we can be doing anything at any time. And if we just begin to be mindful and connect to the breath, especially if we're going through, you know, if there's a stressful situation or you're starting to get wound up over something, you're getting a bit annoyed at the local shopkeeper who's, you know, rude to you, we can just bring that back to the breath. And in that moment, just that reconnecting and acceptance of feelings and it could just bring us down to a manageable level where we can deal with the situation, you know, so much better.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, breathing is wonderful, wonderful tool to reconnect with it all the time.
Yeah, and it's on a different topic. It's massive in yoga as well, isn't it? But I think what people don't realize about yoga is that yoga, it was originally the breathing, wasn't it? That's where yoga came from, was the breath, and then all the stretching and movements evolved out of the breath.
Yeah, I've heard like Sadhguru, you know, speaking about that quite often, about the yogic and you know, that yoga has sort of moved away from what it originally, you know, with the more of the breath work.
Cool. Okay, so we've talked about some of the issues people have with meditation and maybe some of the problems and preconceived ideas. What about getting actually into meditation? If someone's never done it before, they want to get going, they want to kind of chill themselves out, relax, or maybe they've got an issue or a problem they want to work on, maybe some of these problems that we've already spoke about, how can people start to integrate meditation into their daily lives other than listening to the Jason Stevenson YouTube channel?
Good plug there, good plug. Ali, I could say that you can do this a number of ways. One way to do it is just to commit, and this is the big part, is the daily commitment, if you can, to even get up 5 minutes earlier to start your day. Just 5 minutes, and be still in that 5 minutes, and be aware even of your breathing, and don't try to do anything, don't even try to meditate, just be still and be aware. And in that 5 minutes, and if you begin to do that every day, I will tell you now, you'll begin to like that space. And you'll go from a point where you'll want to do it, and possibly even you'll know that you need to do it. So, and that's no listening to no music, no recordings. It's just whatever sounds are happening. And if there's a noisy city below, that's still okay, because it's just being aware and without judgment. If there's horns beeping, just notice those horns. They're there, just like an artist paints on on a canvas, so you can just see those sounds just like they're going on a canvas, and just without judgment, just be there. That's one way to do it. Of course, there are many people free on YouTube, and also free apps, guided apps. There are so many apps at the moment on meditation, it's not funny. So many of them, I know, because I've got a few of my works on some various apps, so they're out there. There's a ton of them, and there's a ton of free work, sometimes guided meditations. People want to hear the spoken voice to help them initially, and if that's the way, that's okay too. What else can I say? Another thing people can do if they've got kids is to get kids involved. And people think, oh, how on earth would I do that? Because you know, I've heard the excuse of people saying, oh, my kids, they're running around and everything. Well, get them involved with you. And you can start this, if you've got the kids, by doing some sort of active dance meditation of just being present and letting out, you know, a lot of steam, getting the kids to let go, expend a lot of that extra energy. And then let them know, then you're going to do that, and they're going to sit and just be still with you.
Yeah.
And just get them into it that way and get them to enjoy that. And, of course, if they don't want to do it, then don't force them to do it now. Just let them go. Let them do their own thing. But that's a way you can do it as well.
Yeah, I think meditating in a group or meditating with a partner works really well sometimes. Myself and my wife do it together. And sometimes you can, not all the time, sometimes I just like to be alone and be still. But I found sometimes in a group or with my wife, you kind of vibe off of each other, don't you? You get that
absolutely.
That
yeah. Yeah, if you've got if you're near a, you know, a community group or something, there's nothing better than that. A lot of people like that. You do get that energy from the group, if you like, and you can feel that. It's almost tangible when, you know, you're doing guided meditation with a group of people. It's quite a empowering place to be in.
Definitely.
Yeah.
For sure. The other one, I guess, is what you did with your retreat as well. You could go on a, if you want to kind of spend that money on self-development and learning meditation in more of a kind of focused environment, you can do the retreats, can't you? They're becoming more and more popular.
Absolutely. There's plenty of retreats around, and there, there's some of those are a real awakening, especially, you know, if you're doing the Vipassana retreat or the silent retreats and stuff like that. If you want to get thrown into the deep end, give that one a try.
Yeah.
They're pretty full on. But I mean, when I think back to my, you know, the 10-day Buddhist retreat, monastic retreat, it was strict conditions, no talking, 2 meals a day, hair shaved off, robes and everything. I will tell you, my first days of that were so difficult. I wanted to leave. I really wanted to leave. And I remember they said before I went into this, they said, once you start this, once you commit, you can't leave. So do you really want to go ahead with it? And I'd be like, yeah, bring it on, bring it on. Well, I was in for such a shock, let me tell you. It was very, very difficult. But then by about the fifth and sixth day, began to see and understand what it was all about and began to reap the benefits, and that has stayed with me ever since.
That's great. That's amazing.
So if you can do a beautiful retreat, 3-day retreat, weekend retreat, 7-day retreat, you can have a, you know, some profound experiences there too.
I want to highlight something off the back of that, which is that the meditation practice is not always an easy journey, is it? You're going to have ups and downs and rocky roads, and that's a key thing to point out, that it's not always going to be easy and it's not always going to be comfortable. You might experience some pain and bad things might come up when you're meditating, but that's all part of the journey, isn't it, that these things happen?
For sure, Ali. Everything from, you know, emotional stuff that maybe hasn't been dealt with, or it's been there, just down there, sitting there for a long time, just in the process of stilling the mind, can begin to bring up things for us. And so it's not going to be, sometimes it's not going to be easy at all. It can be difficult, and especially even anger, you know, these sorts of things can surface. But as they do that, the way we can deal with that is not trying to push that back or to fight that feeling, but rather almost embracing that feeling, accepting, being open to whatever you feel in that given moment. And really, you know, I've been doing some work lately with feelings and stuff and emotions, and if we can actually observe what's going on and sense where it is in the body and the feeling, what happens is it can then just dissolve. It can begin to just crumble away naturally. that can happen, you know, but it might take a few goes to get through that too. So yeah, as you said, Ali, it can be, it's not all easy. Yeah. That's for sure. No.
Two of the words that often get put together, aren't they, are meditation and practice. So it's a meditation practice. You've got to keep practicing for it to become a skill almost, or for it to become habitual, haven't you?
Absolutely. It'd be just like, you know, you learning, you know, the skill of the practice of tennis. You know, we can't just expect to just get up straight away and know all the rules and know how to hit the ball and get it in perfect alignment all the time. And that, absolutely, just practice each day. Practice being still, because we're being so active and our minds are going hundreds of miles an hour because we're told to, you know, focus on so many things at one time now in this life. When, you know, when computers first come out, we were told things were going to be so much easier that we could sit back and not do much. However, we're getting the computers running and we're doing about six things at once on the computer, plus something else over here. And so our minds are just so used to going out. So now we just bring it back.
Bring it back. Love that. That's cool. Let's talk more about then the results that people will start to see and some of the differences that they will see in their life once they get into regular meditation. Let's talk about what people will see and then maybe we'll talk about yours and my results after that. What kind of things will they start to see, maybe short-term, medium-term, and long-term with meditation?
Well, firstly, I say that I'm in some ways a bit reluctant to say it because I don't want people to go in with any expectations, because then if we go in with that expectation, of course, then we're defeating the purpose in a way of meditation, of just being. But organically, you know, these things can happen, and you will feel, possibly even after one, two, or three sessions, even after your first session of just being still, there will be some peace that you will feel, some greater peace of mind, and you'll get to feel that more and more as time goes on. And again, I am wary to say that because I know you might sit still and you'll think, what on earth is this about? Because your mind will be going 100 miles an hour. You might say, I felt anything but peace. So, but hang in there, because over time, you know, it's been also, I know it's been proven, and I've had messages of people saying that they were on blood pressure tablets and they've come off the tablets due to meditation. And so, and that has been, I think that's been, you know, that's been again a scientifically, it's proven now that that does lower blood pressure. And people get, you know, some people that it's happened to, they've come off medication and they're just so over the moon and excited about that. I think also in terms of relating and relationships with other people, there's, you can begin to develop more patience. And the a part of the reason being is if you can begin to sit still and can, and discipline yourself to sit for however long, 5 or 10 minutes, and to commit to that, then you're being patient with yourself. You're giving yourself a gift of patience, and this can then be transferred across to, you'll start to feel that you've got a little bit more time to give to others, a little bit more time to listen more to others and to listen with your heart. So, you know, because it can help with even compassion and empathy for the other, for other people as well. I mean, I don't know how much time you've got, but...
Keep going.
I remember not about a year ago, I broke my tib and fib. It was in an accident. And I was in pain, in so much pain. And initially, I had forgotten about meditation and breathing and everything. I was just carrying on screaming and yelling and rolling on the ground. And then I remembered. And then I thought, okay, this is where I'm at the moment. I was trying to almost like fight off the pain by just rolling, you know, and just, And then I thought, okay, so breathe into this. Just breathe into this and just accept this now, that this is the way things are. Just be open about this now and let's discover this pain. And the interesting thing that began to happen was, it was like, where does pain come from? Is a lot of it also in the mind as well? And I think that that's what had happened. I looked at my foot. I saw my foot was twisted. Yes, it was painful. But when I began to just connect with my breath and just accept things as they were in that moment, I began to breathe and let go, like just acknowledge the pain. And then it began to fade. And I was like, whoa, this is working. Wow, what's going on? It was quite an interesting experiment. So it can help with pain if just being, feeling it, where is it coming from? You know, is it a burning sensation? Pinpoint the exact location of where it is. And sometimes things just begin to not be as bad as what the mind wants it to be. Yeah. That's what I've discovered just recently.
The mind plays tricks on you, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's important to point out that we can, like you've just explained there, you've had an experience of it, is we can control that, can't we? Like, we can control the input that we're putting in there with the words that we say to ourselves. By controlling the breath, we can actually impact those feelings, thoughts, emotions by what we put in there.
Yeah, it is. It's like, okay, the event happened. Okay, we can't control that. It's happened to us. However, we do have some control over our reaction to that event. We really do have some control over that, and that is up to us as to how we are going to deal with that and how we can almost like reframe it or just be mindful of it, of what's going on, and somehow just in doing that, it makes things a little bit more manageable, and the outcome then is easier. There's less pain.
Yeah. You've mentioned a few health benefits. So you mentioned the lowering of the blood pressure. You've mentioned, obviously, pain. I see a lot of people in my line of work that have got injuries and ailments, and I'm always telling them to start meditating because it will help with that. What other kind of health benefits do you think people can get off the back of meditation? And what maybe have you seen with people that you've worked with in improvements in the health other than the ones you've mentioned?
Let me think about this. So I've had I'm not sure if I mentioned even emotionally, and with let's start with, first of all, with anxiety, and that's one of the biggest ones because I've dealt with that numerous times in my life, particularly, you know, about probably 10, 15 years ago. And where I called on meditation, where it became a need to get through each day. And sometimes I was meditating, you know, so many times a day because it's almost like, you know, taking a medicine. You got to take a medicine so many times a day. Well, for me, it was the meditation, and it helped to reduce, to be able to deal with the anxiety, to lessen the anxiety and stress. And over time, you know, I was doing it 3-4 times a day then, because I was pretty messed up, you know, went through some rough patches, and it really helped to sort things out. And I do the meditation practice, and maybe for, even if it was for 30-40 minutes, and then, you know, the anxiety might come in again. Meditate again. And this is how I kept doing it. And even if it was only for 2 or 3 minutes. And what happened was that period of time without anxiety got longer and longer for me. And so it was a great help to me with anxiety and stress. And I know that mindfulness meditation has been proven that it helps a great deal with anxiety and stress levels. So for any business people out there, for anyone, for mums, for dads, for anyone, it's perfect. Also, I think with dealing with our emotions on an emotional level, just to keep things in check, because particularly anger. Anger is an interesting one. And again, I've had, periods in my time, I went through times, you maybe wouldn't believe it, but I went through times of anger. And I remember they sent me to a 6 weeks anger management course many, many years ago. And meditation has helped deal with that, helped when just before those moments come up, I'm so much more aware of what is going on within my body. It's recognizing where these emotions come from. And in quietening my mind, meditation has helped me to still my mind, to recognize, this is coming up for me now. This is feeling, uncomfortable, and it's catching it. And then dealing with it before, you don't have to let off scream and yell, or you don't have to punch pillows or anything. It's just an acceptance of it and being aware of it, that it's coming up.
Yeah. And, I want to tag on an example off the back of that with the anger one. And I've got a really close friend to me. He's actually the person, so he won't mind me talking about it. He's actually the person that introduced me into meditation. And he used to have such a short fuse, like anything would set him off and he'd just flip and just lose it. So much anger and so much impatience and rage. But I just noticed a switch in him as soon as he kind of started doing meditation and getting deeper into it and making it more a part of his life. It was almost as if he was a different person. The meditation helped him so much with his anger and his impatience. So that's one example. And then I want to going back to the emotions, I want to use myself personally. And one thing that I used to be crippled by was worry. And I used to be such a big worrier. And my meditation started in 2015. So I've been practicing for about 3 years now. And I just don't worry anymore. I have the occasional worries, but like nothing like I used to. I used to worry about everything, like what people thought of me, like was I wearing the right clothes, what bills need paying, everything. I used to literally worry about everything, and meditation has not completely eradicated that, but almost got rid of my worry. So emotionally, I think that's where it has some of the biggest impacts in your life is through helping you with those emotions and going back to the awareness and being aware of it again.
How good is that, eh?
You can't beat that. If that's not a plug for meditation, I don't know what is.
I think I was probably the same, with a lot of the worry stuff. I used to turn everything small into a big thing. And as time goes on now, and more of the putting the meditation, continuing to put it into practice, everything just seems to become so much more less. And in fact, there's almost like this voice that just keeps saying to me, don't take it all so seriously.
For sure.
It's just there to remind me all the time. It's a good thing.
Worry doesn't get you anywhere.
No way. Get you to the ground quicker.
Yeah. Definitely. What's the biggest... I know you spoke about your own personal anger, emotional, how it's helped you with that. But if I had to say to you, Jason, what's the one best thing or one best result you've had personally from meditation, can you narrow it down to, like, what's the biggest breakthrough you've had from using meditation? Difficult question.
Yeah. Wow. It's almost like it's really hard for me to explain because I don't even know if it's something tangible that I can. I'm not even sure if I can say it's one thing, to be honest. But what I feel more and more and more as every day goes on is an acceptance of all people and a love of all people without it sounding too wishy-washy, and it probably may come across that way, but that's okay. But I'm thinking that, or feeling that it's opened my heart. That's what it's done for me. It's opened my heart, opened my the space of awareness and of love and of beauty, and it is giving me the opportunity to give so much more every single day to people I come into contact with. And it's almost like now, it's kind of like, I feel like it's a secret mission of mine. It's really strange, but let me tell you what I'm doing, and I'm not trying to blow my own trumpet here. It might give some people ideas of what they can do too, but, you know, I just, whenever I go and buy a coffee, I always pay it forward as well and just say, there's the other amount, give that to the next person that comes in for a coffee. It's just these simple things that make my heart sing now. And I feel like I've reached a space where I know my calling in life. And I really believe that meditation has just helped to open my heart and stop being so self-centered and that everything's about me. And I think even back then I maybe wasn't even aware of it, but that's the awareness I've got. So it's a beautiful space to be in. I really feel blessed. I feel blessed to be here.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Me too.
Awesome, man.
Blessed to be here. Blessed to be on this call with you. It's all good. It's all love.
And I didn't even know where that was going to go, to be honest. I just had to get in touch there with that and find out, well, what is the greatest thing that meditation has given me? And that's it.
Yeah.
That is it.
There's another way you could kind of sum it up, which is probably more how I'd sum it up than maybe, I mean, yeah. That was fantastic how you summed it up. But for me, if it's literally changed my life, meditation, and that's like a big, bold statement, but just from what you explained there, it's done the same for you. And in turn, what meditation has done for you and for me, it's changed our lives, but we're changing other people's lives as well because of that power of meditation. So I think if you can change your own life and then change someone else's, like, what's more beautiful and better than that?
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, and if we, you know, the more people that do this, you know, we're spreading this, you know, this love and awareness and beauty, then that's creating that ripple effect, you know. And if we're all connected, then everyone's going to feel that, you know. We are all connected, so, yeah.
Without going off at too much at a tangent, because I'm keeping my eye on the time here, but do you feel like, this is deep, so we'll see how we go with this, but do you feel like Earth and the people on it are becoming more connected now, or do you feel like there's still a big division, or where do you see it at the moment, at this current present time?
I personally see it. I feel it as coming together. I understand that there's turmoil in a lot of the places of the world. But I think that we have the opportunity now through the internet to reach people in far more places. And so I do think that the consciousness level of the humanity is rising ever so slightly, but I don't believe it's going down. I think we've reached a point. I get the feeling we've reached a point, a low point, and I think it's rising.
Good. That's great.
I feel that.
Awesome. I've got one more quick question before we kind of wrap it up, and it will lead me briefly into, I'm not going to rattle on about me too much because I want to speak about you, but it will lead me into my meditation experience and how I found meditation. But is there any places you've been around the world where you felt like more connected to meditation, maybe on that deeper level, on a spiritual level? Like, is there places where you've been and you thought, wow, I can just, like, I'd literally shut my eyes and I'd go into a meditative state now, or not?
I can just quickly say that there was, I've been, you know, to some beautiful countries and felt the peace in many continents across the world. But I think one of the most profound places was probably only about 150 kilometers from where I am at this moment, and was a national park, a big national park called the Royal National Park, just outside of Sydney, sitting on a hilltop there, and felt 100% connection like I'd never felt in all my life. It just washed over me. And everything that I had ever wanted in my life, everything that had ever could possibly get, was all there in that one moment. And it was just like this wave of just pulsing peace. Just, I get goosebumps now when I think about it, because it was just, it was out of this world. And that was just a profound experience. And it was, I've only kind of had that, I think, once in my life. And that was there.
What's the name of that park? Sorry?
It's called the Royal National Park. And it was I was overlooking, you know, valleys and then to the ocean.
Amazing.
Just glorious, yeah.
Same thing happened to me, and I'll do this really briefly, and because some people might know my story of how I got into meditation, but I think a lot of people won't. But mine happened in Sedona in Arizona. Yeah, so
I'll go there.
My and I know you've got a Sedona meditation, which I have listened to, so yes, Sedona, amazing place. If you're listening to this and you don't know about Sedona, just Google it, or even better, just buy a ticket and go, because it's the most amazing place on the planet I've ever been to in my entire life. But that's where I started my meditation. I was quite blessed to have that experience. My friend lived in Arizona, in Scottsdale at the time. He said, we're going to go to Sedona for 2 days. You'll love it here. I'll get you into meditation. I was like, I'm not interested in meditation. It's not for me. The first place we went was a place called the Kachina Woman. And this is a sacred place to Native Americans. There's a lot of feminine energy there. And I sat on the side of the rock looking out at the valley. And then my mate was like, just close your eyes and we'll just see what happens. And exactly the same as what you just explained to me, just washed over me. I felt like I'd come out of my body almost. I had such a connection to myself, to spirit, to nature, to all of it. And then everything just snowballed from there. I mean, something happened to me that day, and I truly feel that I was blessed and something happened to me, and it was meant to be at that point in time in Sedona. And then it's just gone from there. And I've had so many, I could go on about this all day, but as you could, I've had so many amazing experiences from meditation, just sitting in my own garden or sitting at the park, or I've even meditated on the underground in London. So you can do it anywhere, and you can have amazing breakthroughs. You can have just little breakthroughs, but I mean, anyone listening to this, you've just got to try and get into meditation. You've got to go to Royal National Park in Sedona as well.
I'm going to Sedona. It's on my list, let me tell you.
You'll love it.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Oh, I'm sure I've got this connection with it already.
Let's go together. So,
what's that?
Sorry? Let's go together.
For sure, mate. Okay, well, who knows? That could be damn well on the cards.
Yeah, For sure.
Great experience.
Oh, amazing. Awesome.
Wow.
Cool. I truly believe, though, that like things do happen for a reason. There's a reason that we were brought together as well to share our message to the people listening into this as well, without going too wishy-washy or airy-fairy, so to speak. But yeah, things
100%
happen.
100% agree. 100% agree. Every moment, you know, it's created by our decisions, and each decision leads us to another place, you know, and it's amazing where we can go to, you know. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Amazing. Right, I'm going to wrap it up, Jason, because I'm sure you've got plenty to do and I've got a busy day ahead of myself as well. I want to just finish with a couple of things. First one is, where can the listeners go to find out more about you?
You can do two things. You can just do a search on YouTube, Jason Stevenson. It'll come up, guided meditations and relaxations and all that sort of thing. Or you can go to my website at www.jasonstevenson.net.
Awesome.
And you'll find my stuff there. And there's plenty of stuff for beginners too. So
yeah. And kids as well. You've got some kids meditation as well, haven't you?
Some kids meditations as well, just to get them started. Yeah.
And just before I ask you for your favourite quote to finish, there's one thing I want to point out. How I came across you was where a few years ago I was struggling to sleep. I was having real problems sleeping. So I just put into YouTube sleep meditations or guided sleep meditations. You sprung up, and then there's been no one else since. It's just,
that's crazy.
It's Jason Stevenson all the time. And I don't struggle with my sleep now, but we still put you on, like me and my wife. And my wife was like desperate to listen. And she was like, I want to hear Jason's voice and all of this kind of stuff without sounding like crazy psycho fans. But, but yeah, that's how I came across you. So I know a lot of people listening to this will be struggling with sleep. They might wake up, they might be insomniacs. They might struggle to get off to sleep, stay asleep. I highly, highly recommend people listening to this. If you struggle with sleep, just put into YouTube, Jason Stevenson, sleep meditation, and you'll be asleep in no time.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
No problem. My favorite one at the moment is the Yoga Nidra one. I'm loving that.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's some great stuff. I mean, I honestly don't listen to much of my work. There's probably two meditations I listen to. One is surrender meditation, and that Yoga Nidra one is really, really good because it really connects you with your points, you know, and your breathing and each body part. So, yeah, that's a good one.
My challenge now and my wife's challenge is the opposite. To usually it's like trying to get to sleep. Now we try and stay awake to get through the whole meditation. I've only made it to the end of Yoga Nidra twice, and I tell you, it gets you into an amazing state, doesn't it?
Absolute state of almost like, you know, half not in the body.
Yeah, for sure.
Half in, half out. Yeah.
It's amazing. Wicked.
Good work.
Love it. That's great. Jason, I want to finish with one thing. And this is how I end all my podcasts with all of my guests, with everyone I speak to, is a favorite quote to finish. And this can be your own quote, it can be someone else's, something you live by, anything. Just leave us with a favorite quote.
Okay, this is one I've heard probably 25 years ago in one of those positive thinking type books, but it's stuck with me, written by Apollinaire. And it says, come to the edge, he said. They said, we are afraid. Come to the edge, he said. They came, he pushed them, and they flew.
Amazing.
And that, for me, just sums up everything about, you know, just going and trusting. Yeah. Taking that leap of faith.
Yeah. Don't let the fear cripple you. Just go for it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Jason, I've absolutely loved this. It's been amazing. I mean, again, like I said, I could talk about this stuff all day, and I'm sure you could, and we'll have to do it again and maybe dive into a bit deeper. This has been a broad kind of introduction for a lot of people into what meditation is all about, and some of your experiences, some of mine. Maybe we could go down a different avenue on another podcast, but let's do it again for sure.
Sure, Ali. Thanks so much for making it easy for me as well.
No problem.
Yeah, it's been really cool.
Awesome, and let's keep in touch as well, and get that Sedona trip booked.
Sure, I'll remember that.
Yeah, awesome. Have a fantastic day and a good week, and let's speak again soon.
Thank you, Ali.
There you have it, another episode of the Kinetic Fitness Show wrapped up, episode 12. That was amazing. I absolutely loved that. I was already a huge fan of Jason's before I spoke to him, but now that I've spoken to him face to face, he's just gone up a notch for me. The guy's amazing, truly inspirational, such an amazing individual, and I love the content that he shared today. Hope you guys as well listening in enjoyed that, and you're going to put some meditation into your life now, or try and take your meditation practice to the next level if you already meditate. As always, if you need any help, whether it's meditation, whether it's fitness, nutrition, exercise, anything related to health and well-being, do not hesitate to get in touch with us. All the contact links are attached to the notes on this episode and every episode that I've done as well. So do not hesitate to get in touch if you need any further help. That's it. Another episode done. I will speak to you again next Wednesday. If you haven't already liked and subscribed, please do that so you get first dibs and first notifications on our future episodes and when an episode is published as well. And please share this with your friends and family as contacts as well, because there's plenty of people out there that need help. They need help with their health and well-being. They want to be healthier. They want to live a better life. And this is the podcast that's going to help them do that. So peace and love to you guys listening in, and I will speak to you again next week.